Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 383, Solo, A Star Wars Story.
Yeah.
Well, because you have to put that on there, because if not, people might think it's the Toby Keith story.
I don't think that's the way that
no,
works.
No, well, it depends on where you live.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Alabama?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Let's go see that new Toby Keith movie about the cup. That's going to be a good one.
The history of the Solo Cup.
Yes.
That is the most obvious and weirdest product placement of all time.
Yeah.
The Solo Cup.
Like, you know, they really did a tie-in.
They did.
Oh, they had to.
It is obvious, but it's a Solo Cup.
Like. The other weird but obvious Solo tie-in was Lube.
No.
Yeah.
Same wavelength.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
slightly different direction, but
I'll think about that while you continue.
Yeah, I guess.
Are you thinking about Joe and a fleshlight?
Lubing up a fleshlight.
Continue.
See, because it would be a solo activity.
I see.
See, that's what that is.
Well, for you guys that have been married long, I guess.
You'll get there.
Yeah. I didn't say it was for me. I just said I didn't buy a solo cup either, but I'm aware that they exist. Yeah.
Humble brag.
Yeah. Yeah. I drink out of plastic tumblers, bitches. I'm a baller.
Reusable. He can afford the good stuff.
I just pour water in it, swish it around, good to go.
Oh, I was like, I don't drink water.
No, not you.
Yeah. Drinking
it's like water-based products.
You know, most people's bodies are like 70% water. Yeah. Tom's body is 70% diet cherry Pepsi.
That is true. That is a true fact.
It's more like 78%.
He's gonna live to be like 205 years old. I mean, he's so well preserved.
They're like,
"What's your secret?
What's your secret?
Aspartame." That's my secret.
Little did you know.
You know, all the hippies told you it was going to kill you, and it was like made out of rubber mats or something. They're totally.
Surprise.
Well, they also say it like breaks down into formaldehyde. It's like, well, how well preserved are those things that use formaldehyde?
Yeah, totally. That's. I always hate that. I was like, well, yeah, if you drink enough water, you'll drown. Like,
that's also true.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, it'll make you sick.
What are you going to do?
Enough heroin, you'll die.
But. Yeah.
It did get to the point where
apparently,
like,
if you take meth, you'll live forever.
You won't die, unfortunately.
I don't know how you know that.
Personal experience.
So we should probably go around the table and introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. As you could probably tell by the we were referencing fleshlights within the first 45 seconds. Dan is not here.
Yeah, he's got a big boy job.
Yeah, he's doing his own podcast
during
about
the
this
day, I guess.
He's doing his own podcast about this episode. It will be titled Dan Solo.
Dan Solo.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Nad. Well, okay, I was trying to think of a better way to like get a Star Wars name.
Oh,
like Nad Solo.
Just I thought Dan Solo was pretty
Dan
good.
Dan Solo is pretty good, but you don't like. I guess that's true. You have Luke.
Yeah.
Like Luke is the only one, and Ben.
Ben.
Yeah, that's true. And that's about it.
But he's really Obi-Wan,
right? Yeah.
So
right.
It's like you can't really. I mean, they call him that because they're like, "What the hell is Obi-Wan?"
Old Ben over there. There's a kid at my youngest daughter's daycare.
Oh, she doesn't just go by herself?
No, I put her on a bus. She's fine. She's one.
Any bus?
Yeah, any bus.
Yeah.
But as the kids, like, I'm getting her situated. I'm getting ready to leave. And I hear one of the workers say, "Oh no, Anakin, don't go over there." And I'm just like, "There's a child in here whose name is Anakin." And they're like, "Oh yeah, it's that one." And I was like, "Yeah. Good luck, kid."
Yeah.
Wow.
Not only are they going to be like, "Oh, you're named after a Star Wars character." Fump. "But your nickname is Annie." Fum. Like, there's nothing he can do.
And there's no...
And he turns to the dark side.
I know. Well, he doesn't have a choice.
There's no debating, like, if your name is Anakin, you're named after a Star Wars
you're
character.
Named after, like, Darth Vader.
That's not, like, from the old Latin. No.
It's not like it's Josiah.
Right.
Or, you know,
yeah, your name
Malachi.
Comes from way back in the olden days, or the biblical name, whatever. No, you're... Yeah.
Oh, no, it's an old Quaker name.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Anakin?
Yeah.
Anakin the blacksmith, that's who that was.
He was our Cooper, the town Cooper. So shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. And also don't forget, what else? Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. You can stay up to date on things throughout the week. And if you just aren't getting enough of us, you can also check us out at Patreon.com/RealSpoilers, where for the low price of, $5 a month,
$5.
You'll get all sorts of extra content for your ears. So there's all that. I guess let's stop the waiting.
Dig right into it.
And so, yeah.
Just a little disclaimer. We saw this movie 30 minutes ago.
That's true.
Yeah, like we're recording this
fresh.
Early
yeah.
Because I'm going out of town, and so we jumped through a bunch of hoops. You two were nice enough. Dan could not.
Yep.
Not that he's not nice, but he just couldn't. He just didn't have the flexibility. And so we could record this so we would still have an episode and not have to wait until I got back at the first beginning of the second week of June. So this is very fresh in our minds.
Yes.
Which is good and bad.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're 10 movies into this Star Wars world.
Yes.
Not including, obviously, the holiday special and the Ewoks movies and the cartoons.
Movies.
But feature films.
Right.
But this is somewhere between episode 3 and episode 4. We don't know if it's before Rogue One or after Rogue One, technically.
Well, I have to believe it's before Rogue One, because I feel like they would have mentioned something about
Death
Star.
At the end, you find out that the Rebellion's kind of just forming.
So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
There's a spoiler in this we'll get to that spoiler later, but when this character shows up compared to when episode 4...
Chewbacca is gay. Just say it right now.
Well, I didn't want to bring it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's why it's why his fur is matted.
Oh.
What?
Well.
So I feel like the timeline of this movie means that it takes place has to be before episode 1.
What?
It has to be before episode 1.
Before episode 1?
Yeah.
Really?
Okay, we're just going to spoil it now. Darth Maul's in this movie. He dies in episode 1.
He doesn't die. No. This is from the Clone Wars.
Oh,
they cut him in half,
right.
And he doesn't die. He has robot legs in this movie.
I completely forgot about the robot legs.
That's the big spoiler at the end of this movie, is we're like, who is the big bad that the supposedly Paul Bettany bad guy works for?
Right.
It's freaking Darth Maul, which is a fan favorite. Like, people that watch the Clone Wars, like, he comes back, and the thing is, it's one of those off-screen deaths.
You're
where
right.
He gets cut in half, of course, by Qui-Gon, and he falls down the thing.
Obi-Wan.
But oh, okay. He kills. Yeah. I'm sorry. He kills Qui-Gon. You know, Phantom Menace. I've tried to block
best.
It out.
It's okay.
Yeah,
it's
so
okay.
Give me a break here. But so he has the best part of the entire movie is that lightsaber fight. He goes down the well and his body's cut in half. But in the Clone Wars cartoon, there's two different versions. I think
the Clone Wars cartoon where he comes back is like the CG.
Yeah.
Clone Wars, not like the standard 2D. Frame
right.
animation.
And so I don't know. I didn't watch those, but I do know that they give him a robot lower half.
Right.
And
do.
So this is a huge deal because, again, fan favorite. Everyone loves him. Even from Phantom Menace, I mean, again, universally, the best part of that movie, I mean, you've got pod races and you've got lightsaber scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, and then Darth Maul was awesome.
Yep.
Ray Park.
He looked awesome.
He is cool looking, great martial artist. And so now.
Toad from the X-Men, if you will.
So Darth Maul, great martial artist. So now we have this new trilogy of movies. And again, this is a spoiler for the very end, but it's like, boom, he's going to be the villain of this trilogy, which is pretty damn cool.
Okay, so that's fair. So it could take place.
No,
they haven't mentioned the Death Star, and I feel like that would be a thing that they're talking of. They're talking about the Tatooine.
These characters, these human characters, you got to remember, can only get so old. So you have young Han Solo, but from Rogue One, which butts up to the
Episode
New Hope,
four. Yeah,
they can only be like 30 years apart. That's or whatever, fair. The prequels yeah. to this. So, yeah, it can't be super far back.
That's
or,
a timeline that I would be interested to see. Like, if somebody yeah. could actually figure out how to track.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's fair. Yeah. It's there.
Wait until this movie actually comes out, and I guarantee you, Thursday at 9:35 p.m., you'll have the new timeline
right,
or whatever.
That's fair.
So we'll try to post it somewhere. But, yeah, so it's probably right before Rogue One or somewhere a year or, you know, somewhere close to
yeah,
Rogue One.
That's probably true. So this is our Han Solo origin story. So we find out that Solo is basically an orphan who was taken to this planet, and he was raised in like a life of crime to stay on this planet. Like they say, you gotta be a little.
He's like Oliver.
He is like Oliver. Like, it's the first thing I thought when I
and
was
it's
like
a planet of Fagans.
Yes,
that's and not like, offensive.
No, that's what he is.
That's a character's
yeah,
that's name.
The character from Oliver. Yeah.
He's a slave essentially.
Basically, I mean, and
it's
like
just like Annie working for. You know, was it Watto? Remember in
I went the musical Annie.
I did too, because we were talking about orphans.
he just mentioned it, Annie.
I know
so
you're
yeah.
absolutely right. Yeah. Like I'm with
so
you.
So it's he's indentured. It's live and to get
like
a home.
All these,
yeah, they're yeah. all part of these. This is a thing in the Star Wars universe where all these slaves are. You know, they're fed and given a shelter, as crappy as it may be. But it's like if you don't pull your weight, then you're gone.
Right. So. Automatically, I don't know if anybody has seen, what was that Coen Brothers flick that he was in, Hail Caesar?
Mm-hmm. He's amazing in Hail Caesar.
And I got to tell you, I didn't mind him. I liked him in this.
I liked him. I walked out of Hail Caesar, and I was like, this dude's a big effing star.
I had the exact opposite reaction, but I liked him in this. This brought back my faith because he's been in Hail Caesar, which I did not like, but then he was in Beautiful Creatures as the main. That's like a Twilight ripoff.
Okay.
And he has another Southern accent that's fake. It's not as, but those two movies in a row, he had that Southern drawl that was really like
sure.
over the top. And I just didn't care for him. And then the other thing was, like, we discussed this a little bit before the show, but I didn't think going into this movie, I didn't think he looked like Han. I didn't think he sounded like Han. But I'll tell you what, after a 20-minute adjustment period, you're off to the races. Like
he's got the facial tics. He's got the cadence in his delivery.
Yeah, the smirk.
The smirk. The hair helps. Like, he's got fuller hair. Like, when I'm recording, I'm looking at a New Hope poster. And, like, the more I look at that, Drew Struzan Han Solo, I was like, yeah, I can
but
see that being him.
You've also just watched this movie.
Also true.
I'll tell you what, again, I mean, that's the thing. It's a fair statement, I think, for all the people that are a little concerned. It's a fair statement. He is a different person.
Yep.
And we have grown up with
right.
Harrison Ford as Han Solo our entire lives. I mean, for me and Joe,
yeah.
those movies were before we were born, and you were young, right?
Right?
So like,
well, he was in his 30s.
So we've known this actor as this iconic character who's so beloved. So when you go into this movie, I think it's fair to be a little bit concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But again, 15, 20 minutes in, it's off to a little bit of a slow start. But once you accept this is Han, and like it or not, they cast this guy for a trilogy of movies about Han. He is Han.
He's your new Han.
So like you have
and
to.
And we know that we're not getting old Han.
Yeah.
Like he's not coming back.
But you can't say he's not Han because he is.
No, right?
They've
yeah,
cast
yeah.
him. This is your Han. So you can fight it or you can accept it. And
at the end of the day, like, how many Supermans have we had? How many Batmans
right.
have we had? How many James Bonds have
Do you
we had? I was
boys?
This were rhetorical,
oh, okay.
just to be clear, Joe. But you know, so at some point, if you want to keep seeing these stories, you gotta let somebody else do it.
Marvel's gonna face this problem in the next 5 years,
right?
Yeah. I mean, they're gonna,
but they're smart enough where they're going to.
Well, they've done the legacy thing,
yeah.
Where it's just like, okay, we know that Chris Evans is going to go, but we got Sebastian Stan.
They've got
and we've
two
got
caps
Mackie,
ready to go.
Right?
Yeah, they're
we've
smart.
Got, we possibly have another Thor.
Yeah.
Waiting in the wing. You know, Iron Man is
little
different.
Little Ben Gale help with that.
It'll take care of
little
it.
Thor.
Little Thor.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little hot and cold.
It's Mike Tyson.
I get
here.
It. That was good. But yeah, Tony Stark is kind of in the same boat. But I think with Tony Stark, they could yeah. be like, "What? Can you just record it over the phone? Like, you don't have to come in. Just go to a,
right.
go to a booth next
totally.
To your house and do it from there." So. These characters are going to change.
Yeah. But I was really delightfully surprised with this one. Cause again, I didn't like the guy maybe as much as you guys did. And I'm like,
I wasn't a huge fan of Hail Caesar, but yeah. I was in the same boat where I was like, this kid's going to be,
I only liked Hail Caesar when he
yeah.
was on the screen.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Like other than that. Well, and the Channing Tatum dance scene.
That's a given.
The Coen. Yeah, it's another discussion for another day. Those Coen movies lately are so hit or miss. There are parts that are good, but anyway, I would say give it about 20 minutes. You get used to him. Again, it's a little slow start, and you're trying to figure out what's his backstory, what's Daenerys doing there. You know, once you get into it though,
where's Jon Snow?
Yeah, once you accept that this is Han and you get used to him, and it's like, yes, he does. He has the look. He has the cadence. Like, all of a sudden he starts adapting to your memories, and it just fits.
It's similar to Anthony Hopkins and Nixon.
What do you mean?
Did you ever see Anthony Hopkins and Nixon, the movie Nixon?
No, I saw Frost Nixon.
Okay, no. So in Nixon, like, he still looks like Anthony Hopkins, but after a couple minutes, he so kind of embodies the persona of Nixon that you just kind of get past it.
Interesting.
Yeah, your brain adjusts. It's just, yeah. And I'll tell you what, once it gets going, for me, the point was, because it's not going to take long to get there, but for me, the point was when he met Woody Harrelson, that's when it clicked for me.
It started
getting really exciting. The action started ramping up. They were doing stuff. It was just a lot of talking before that.
The whole opening, so the opening sequence is Han has stolen this data clip. I thought it was data.
The thing that he had that he said was worth like 800 credits, I'm pretty sure was part of this refined stuff.
Okay.
I think that's like the theme. Did you take it as that blue thing was the same that they've been trying to get this whole movie?
I don't remember. Yeah. It was just a MacGuffin.
And again, we just saw this. I think it was one sample of this fuel. That the entire movie.
I thought it was Superman's father.
No.
Thought it was...
That didn't glow.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, see? That's how they get you.
Gotcha.
He would have just opened...
His mother?
Oh, maybe.
She glowed.
She maybe did glow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She glued?
When she got set on fire, I guess she was glowing.
Yeah. The whole planet was glowing.
That's true.
Too soon.
No, it's not.
Hashtag too soon.
To make fun of it, doesn't...
Fictional people died on that fictional planet. It's not funny.
I heard they're doing another show.
Yeah.
It's not just Krypton, but they're doing another show.
It's Metropolis.
Metropolis. So now we get... Krypton and Metropolis. I actually
wouldn't mind seeing
Law and Order Metropolis.
Yes.
They did. It's called Powers.
Right. And it was awful.
It's just
the comic book
the
was
comic
great.
Book, but
yes,
the,
fantastic yeah. book. But yeah, like I would see a young Lois Lane or young, you know, those characters
it's
running
just
around.
It's funny that we're gonna keep getting these like not the ones that like you wanna see, but like all the lead ups.
Yeah,
it's like someone heard Patton Oswalt's routine about at midnight,
Parks
I'll kill George Lucas with a shovel.
Yes,
and they were like,
"Oh,
that's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
We should make more of those."
What did he just have a theory on that was
about Heath Ledger as the Joker?
Oh yeah, where
was like military ops and with a specialization.
It was
in
a very interesting
in
theory.
Interrogation.
Yeah,
he really is the king of the nerds.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's him and Hardwick
all
and,
bow
and,
down.
And, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, but it's like
he's on point.
I used to be like, I would really like to hang out with Patton Oswalt, and now I don't want to hang out with Patton Oswalt.
You'd be embarrassed
because I'm like,
he'd school you.
I can't keep up.
No,
like I just don't even. But 10 minutes in, he'd be like, "You're a fake nerd."
Well.
I'm like, okay.
I didn't think that I was, but I'm starting to question myself.
I'll just leave now, sir.
So they have this.
So we meet Kira.
Who is Emilia Clarke, mm-hmm. Daenerys Targaryen.
They both grew up together, so we know that they're both from this planet. They're both part of the same kind of system. Yeah, and they obviously are a romantic couple. Yeah.
So they decide, they're like, okay, I've got a speeder. We're going to get out of here. It's going to be...
Is that the same as Luke drives? Is that a T-18 Womp Rat or
it
whatever
looked like
they call
it? But the speeder he drives later is not...
But when he says, I've got a T-18, and it looks just like
it
the
does.
One that Luke flies, I'm pretty
Which
sure
is so,
that's an
so,
Easter egg.
Okay, so Toys R Us is closing, right? So
I think it's closed, isn't
I don't
it?
No,
think
it's
so.
They're
still around.
They're like
still
50%.
Going.
Yeah, it was a long liquidation.
So, friend
yeah, that
of
happens
show.
As you get older. Yeah. Little Saul Palmetto will help with that.
So we go. I go check it out, see if they, because, you know, the Marvel Select figures are pretty cool. And I see the speeder.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, well, why the hell are they
that's
putting
probably
this
why
out? But that's exactly why.
It's a little Easter egg, a little wink wink.
There's a lot of those.
I like throwaway wink winks rather than like, hey
look
is,
what we're doing here.
Is, like, hey, this is Han's first time in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon. Like, don't tell me how to feel. Like, I get it.
We
like,
know.
I know it's his first time in the Falcon. Like, okay, it's Star Wars from A New Hope. Like,
right.
You know, it was a little much for me. Again, it doesn't ruin the movie, but I don't like manufactured emotion. Like, you're going to feel it if you're a fan and you feel it, but like,
it's the scene in Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Like when she catches the lightsaber, it's just that it it generates a real feeling.
Yeah, than it, like, it should be able to to hit you with it because of that nostalgia and your love of the past series.
Correct.
Without being punched up. So I was a little bit, I kind of wish they didn't go John Williams' original trilogy score for this, like the remixes that they do.
Oh, because sure, sure.
This I just felt like it was little hints. Like it wasn't.
We got bits. It was almost like Rocky. Or
yeah. This is
Creed,
way more Creed, than Creed.
Yeah.
Way, it is way more
it
than
is.
Creed.
Yeah. And they do it multiple times.
Yes. Like, I wish they did the Creed
yeah,
thing.
I wish
and
Creed,
they earned it, and that's fine. Doesn't ruin.
I will say that I think we got a little bit earlier than we had than we deserved.
Yeah.
Oh,
because it was
itself?
Like he's in the Falcon, and then every time it was like a first time something.
You know what
it was like
because every time they kind of set a piece into place, or when Chewie gets into the seat,
it was almost like
achievement unlocked.
Yeah, so exactly. That was the Star Wars.
I earned a medal.
It was the classic Star Wars theme, but sped up. That's what the new one sounds like. It goes, da, 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 and it's like every time. And so again, it was just a
little
much.
Don't do it again or we'll have to pay for it.
Yeah, right. I know.
I can't afford it.
I'm timing it. We're at 29.5 seconds of samples. So.
He's going to, it's just from here on out, the Star Wars theme is a chicken.
Yeah, chicken noise.
Yeah.
They get caught by the gal, I guess, Lady Proxima, which I find that name funny.
Proxima, given, we just...
given Proxima Midnight was in the Avengers.
So we just got Paul Bettany in two movies
owned by Disney.
We just got two Proximas. In
yeah,
this,
both like, in the same movie.
So we didn't...
She sounds like an acne cream.
Yeah. She looked like an acne cream.
Fair enough.
Yeah, this was the big monster movie. Okay.
And now it looked like a lot of it was... This is a hell of a good-looking movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is probably the best Star Wars flick they've done so far.
I definitely... You mean looking?
Yes.
I don't know.
Last Jedi is pretty damn
good. Oh, that's true.
I really like Force Awakens.
It looks good.
Because they just so captured it. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But
Force Awakens is great, and it's big because it's JJ, but I think Rian Johnson's more of a little more artsy, in his shots from a technical perspective. But, I mean, now we're at Ron Howard. We got J.J. Abrams, Rian Johnson, Ron Howard. Like, they all look really good.
Yes.
Let's just not kid ourselves here.
And they definitely seem like they're sticking with this needs to be as much practical as possible. Yeah.
Yes, and that thing looked practical.
I don't think it was. I mean, maybe there was. It was CG just because.
I think it helped because they used like a really weird blue tint.
Yeah.
To that whole thing.
It's a very dark scene.
It was messing with my eyeballs.
The movie's dark.
Yeah. Well, it's very dark.
Like optically, not tonally, but like it's dark to
and
look at.
Yeah. I don't know if that
could be the theater.
I
think it might have been the theater.
Because I did notice where I'm like, this should really be brighter than, you know, but it is a dark movie.
So, Solo's doing, Han's doing what he does. Like, he's working her and he, you know, trying to get it to get himself out of trouble. And this is the first time that we kind of see the quick talking. Like, I don't have it here, but, like, I've got it here. And,
I was surprised he slept with Proxima. That was a really weird scene.
Well, sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah,
that's
true.
And
Emilia Clarke just nods, like, yeah, we got to get out of this.
Yeah, the best part of the scene is where he's got a rock. And he was just like, click, click. And
that
she's just like,
funny,
what are you doing? And he's like, it's a rock. She's like, or it's a thermal detonator. She goes, no, it's not. It's a rock. And I saw you go click, click.
I heard you make a click noise with your mouth.
I feel like that had to be a Lord Miller scene left over.
I think it absolutely
that
was.
Humor was very reminiscent. I love Lord Miller.
Yeah.
Lego Movie 2 just got announced, the title for it.
Oh, it did?
So, it's like Lego Movie 2, the second part. Second piece or something like that. I think it's the second piece. And those guys are great. 21 and 22 Jump Street. Mm-hmm. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, which is just delightful.
The first one.
Yeah. Did you hear me say two, Tom?
I was just clarifying.
But I remember going into that blind. And the book, I didn't even realize it was based on that old kids book that I read as a kid.
Has almost no...
No, it
really
isn't the same. But
I didn't know it was a book.
Yeah.
Very loosely, like the title is based on, and it rains meatballs at one point.
Yeah.
But I remember being blown away by that, and that was my first introduction to those two, at least that I knew of. I don't know if I had watched a TV show with them or whatever, but like that.
Weren't they How I Met Your Mother writers?
I think that's where they
came
from.
Yeah, they were How I Met Your Mother, Arrested Development, right? No, that's Russo. And what's the other one? There's another show, I think. But I just can't remember the time frame of that. That was like 2009 now or something. Mm-hmm. Like Cloudy was a long time ago. But anyway, I was blown away with that. So I feel like you can definitely pick out the parts. Like Ron Howard doesn't have the same comedic sensibilities as like a Lord and Miller. And Although I am a little saddened that we won't get to see that movie. Like, this one is really well done, and so I have to trust.
I like that scene. I don't know that I would have wanted a whole movie of it.
That's they have scenes like that that are sprinkled throughout the movie,
right?
And they work in that context.
Yeah.
But if I had gotten 2 hours of that, I don't think I would have been into it. Like, it would have been such a completely different tone.
You know what? It would have been Thor Ragnarok, but I'm not sure you want that for a Star Wars movie.
I don't think the Star Wars universe is as forgiving about playing with... It is a genre. Right.
Sure.
Like, you can't play with genre types within it.
Within the genre itself.
Yeah, like, you can't get away with that.
Where do it to Thor, and they're like, thank God, this is Thor. We want this Thor.
And there's already... Mm-hmm. You've already kind of done... Well, not kind of. You have done it. You set the tone early that the Marvel Universe
is fluid,
can support all sorts of different storytelling devices and types of stories
and genres.
So you can do a rom-com and a teenage comedy, and
I think we're getting the rom-com in July.
Right. That's what I was referencing.
But that scene is really funny and it works, and then they get out, they get away.
They move to action, and it's not just joke. It's the Snyder marks, it's the Han being a hotshot, little small jokes, but it's not that huge wink at the camera, tongue-in-cheek.
It's like the unearned confidence that Han had. Like, I feel like, when we see Han in A New Hope, he's earned that confidence. Like, I feel like he hasn't earned that yet, but he still has it.
But, like, see, that's the thing, and that's what I think people have to realize going into this film. If they're, like, either give it a chance or don't watch it, but, like, don't watch and go, oh, it's not him, because, no, it's not the Han we know.
No.
This is the younger Han that is not that guy yet. Think about it. All of us, 10, 15, 20 years ago, we're all different than we were. Sure, we were introduced to this guy, Han, but you have all that experience and all the stuff that you've learned along the way, so it's like they are two different people for all intents and purposes.
Sure.
This is young Han, and then by the end of the trilogy, he may very well be so settled in our minds, and with his performance, he's going to get older. Like, you know, it's going to get closer.
The only thing he's not going to do is get taller, and that's that's my only complaint about him, is he's significantly shorter than Harrison Ford.
They just got to make Chewbacca another foot taller, and then it's all out. Hey, if they can make those Hobbit guys look so small compared to Gandalf that looks 10 times taller.
This is the best Chewbacca I've ever seen.
It's a new one.
It's a whole, like, it's a much guy, younger. Yeah. Oh, no, this is the guy from Force Awakens, isn't it?
It's a new one.
Oh, there's another new one?
Yeah,
I thought this was the guy from Force Awakens.
It's not. I don't know why, but from what I heard, it is not the same guy. So,
You know what? Because that makes sense, because I know you were talking about Han being shorter.
Yeah.
And Chewbacca in this is actually played by Warwick Davis.
That's a very interesting move.
Yeah. And Han is really short.
He's
very petite.
As soon as you saw a small little mercenary guy, I mean, was it any question?
No,
like that helmet off reveal at the end again was not like, no, yeah, who like, do we think was in there?
Of course, it's
you're not blowing
Davis.
Our mind there, Ron.
It's, you know what it says? Oh, Chewbacca double. So
Peter Mayhew was Chewbacca in Force Awakens, but he was
they started to phase him out. Like, he did all the scenes.
He was the one. He was in all the scenes where Chewie was sitting down.
That's what it was.
Yeah. So Junis Sutamo was the Chewbacca double in Force Awakens, and it says he was Chewbacca in The Last Jedi fully.
So I think this is our new Chewbacca.
So that is, he must have taken over fully.
Yeah.
Now. Okay.
Is he like a Croatian basketball player
I thought it was something him,
like,
yes.
No, I mean, I thought for real it was something like
I
that.
I think, yeah, I think so.
So yeah, so Emilia Clarke and
they get
Han
away
Solo
in the
and Kira. No, because this one's different. He's riding in two different speeders.
But I thought he said, I've got a T-18.
He did, but the speeder that he's driving in the beginning does look like Luke's.
Yeah.
This one does not. This one's like a blue, and it's not rounded in the front. This is super nerdy, and I'm really sorry about that. But
maybe I didn't realize we went to a different one. I wanted to mention that from that first one, he gets the dice.
Oh, I thought those were his dice.
No, he pulls them off. It's not his speeder. Why would he have the dice
on?
That's
a good point.
So,
I thought he had it waiting.
That's
I didn't realize he was boosting it.
No,
I thought it was
he stole it, and so
I thought he had the first one waiting, and he boosted the second one.
Oh, I took it as he stole the dice, but I don't know.
This
is the problem of not having any time to research.
Right.
Like, again, it's just that I could be totally wrong, but I took it as like, oh, the dice origin story, because he steals them off this thing, and now it's like, oh, I've got my luck, because I got away. These are my lucky dice now.
I can see that.
I think either version makes sense.
Yeah. Anyway,
so they get away, and they're being chased, and this is where the false confidence that he has no right to have at this point, kicks into effect. It's a great looking scene. Like, it's a great looking chase scene.
Yeah.
They get away and they get to like this train station.
They're trying to get past like a border. It's like a checkpoint where it's like, once you get over there, you're in a different jurisdiction or whatnot. You're out of this rule of government, or I don't know what it is exactly, but so they have to have passports and things. It's kind of like the Fifth Element scene with the multi-pass.
Yeah,
they're trying to get past this one wall, and they end up using the thing that they stole in the beginning.
Right,
they go to an
Imperial guard, and they're just like, "Look, we don't have boarding passes or IDs, but we do have this, and if you let us on, like, we'll just give this to you."
Yeah.
And Emilia Clarke is hemming and hawing about it because it's a priceless thing that they could get all kinds of money for. But she turns it over to the gal. Han gets on board. And then she's taken away. Like, Emilia Clarke is snatched by the bad guys, and Han is shuttled away quickly.
He's like, I'll come back for you. Yeah. And this is cool because I didn't know anything about the plot of this movie other than it's a
nothing.
Han Solo story.
Yep.
So I had no idea he joined the Imperial Army. Like,
feel
that
like
was,
I did
which is
know
great
because
that means that even as a rebel general, he still gets an imperial pension.
That's, correct.
Yeah.
It's great to double dip.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Very, very forward thinking.
They mentioned this in the Star Wars comic book.
Oh, maybe.
In the current Marvel book, I feel like they mentioned that he was an imperial pilot.
I found it fascinating. I'm like, I mean, who would have thought that I thought he was just a smuggler. I mean, he was 3 years in the Imperial Army, and we find out that he was a pilot because he signs up and he says, "I always wanted to be one." Then, of course, he has difference of opinion because Han speaks
he's
his
Han
mind.
Solo.
And then 3 years later, he's on the ground as a infantry.
We should also say this is where he gets his name.
Yeah, this is another one where it's like, I never realized
that wasn't a family.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things that I feel like they're like, we got to have an origin story for everything. And I was just like, I didn't really need an origin story for his name.
But if people are like, well, where's the rest of the Solos? And you're like, I don't know, where's his family? Like, this explains
aisle 6.
It.
Bottom shelf.
Yeah.
But I see what you're saying.
But you know what I mean? Because they would have to explain and have to build a whole Solo family tree. And if they never have, you're like, why? This is a perfect explanation.
Right.
You can't trace the lineage because that's not his
name.
There
is no
lineage. So I thought it was really interesting. I thought it was a little weird that this iconic character didn't name himself. Like, a random guy named him. But I also thought it was cool.
That's how it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Jeff Burton, from The Point, for years he went by just Jeff.
Yeah.
So you want to hear the origin story on that? He was a DJ, first day at a station in Springfield. And the guy's getting ready to go on the air, like, to do the shift change, and it's Jeff's first shift, and he's like, what's your name? And he's like, Jeff. And he's like, but what are you going to call yourself on the radio? And he's like, I don't know, like, just Jeff. And he's like, okay, up next, just Jeff. And, like, he went by just Jeff.
He did
for a long time.
Yeah.
That's like one of those just movie comedy things, you know, like, or, you know, don't call me Shirley. Like, that's just such a, I can't believe someone actually did that.
Of course.
Someone's like, I've just been watching Airplane. I have the perfect nickname for you.
Don't worry. I speak jive.
Yeah. And that's how he became autopilot in the morning.
So he gets away. He joins the Imperials, and he's on this planet. They don't really tell you where they are. They drop references to things that you've heard, like Tatooine.
But here they're just fighting for the Imperial. They're taking over planets.
Correct.
Is what I found out. So anyone that so the Empire is trying to obviously rule the galaxy.
Yes.
And so we find out that it's not like they did it in a civilized manner. It's like, we're going to conquer you. If you fight us, we'll kill you. And then we rule. Right.
Right.
And so at this point, and this is where, again, I really got on board with Einrich as Solo. Like, I was used to it. And I think this is a great looking scene.
Yep.
With the war.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, it was a lot of explosions and I think practical stuff going on, and what wasn't, you couldn't tell. And I just thought it looked like a really great set piece.
It was. It reminded me a lot of the opening scene in Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is where we meet Woody Harrelson's character, who is going to be kind of his mentor in this film.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Tobias Beckett.
Tobias Funke?
No.
Tobias Beckett. So
you're thinking of the Infinity War character.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I blew myself again. So, like, he is definitely, Solo is already picking up that, Tilda Swinton, Maeve.
Oh, Thandie Newton.
Danny Newton, thank you. Woody Harrelson and Jon Favreau are not exactly who they think they are. Nobody else is.
You can't scam a scammer. Like, it's
basically
Solo has grown up his entire life on the streets pulling scams. He's like a little Aladdin, you know, like we're gonna see Guy Ritchie's Aladdin. Like, this is the guy running scams, trying to stay alive, and we see that Beckett's armor
damage on the
has
armor.
Holes in the chest, right, like where his heart is, and like that's a laser blast to the chest, and you seem fine,
and you're not dead. Yeah. So either you're a quick healer or you're not who you say you are.
And you also hear them, like he overhears them. It also doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out, like, because at first I was confused because when we're introduced, they're like in a trench, and they're like, but you know, they're gonna go that way. How are we gonna go the other way? And like he's like, well, you can die, but we're going this way to go get this thing or whatever. And I'm like, oh, so they're not really soldiers.
No.
And then I was like, oh, they are soldiers. This is weird, but
but they're not.
You literally overhear them, right, like trying to pull this
heist.
They're
pulling a heist in the middle of this war.
Yeah.
But it sounds like in context that they're
they could be on a mission.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. So at the end of the day, like the Solo has his little interaction with the lieutenant where he's just like, this doesn't make any sense. He's like, you got something you want to say? And he was like, nah, never mind. And then he meets up with Woody Harrelson and Thandie Newton again. And I do like the scene where he's just like, you're not, he's like, you're a, it's like kind of hard to take orders from a blah, blah, blah. And he's like, what? How do you know I'm a thing? He's like, I saw you reach down with your extra set of hands in your butt. And he was just like, oh, all right. So, Woody Harrelson
like,
calls him out. Like he was just like, hey, Lieutenant, I got a deserter. And he was like, oh, I knew it. And he's like, throw him in the Sarlacc pit. Or
no, not quite. Throw him in the dungeon with the monster.
And he's like, you guys have a monster or a creature?
Yeah.
And
beast, whatever they call
right.
it.
So he's
yeah,
like,
you have a beast?
Yeah, we haven't fed him in 3 days.
And it's the Hulk.
It is the Hulk.
Sun's going down, big guy.
It's Juggernaut is what it is. So they throw him in there, and he's hooked.
I liked this. I saw it coming from a mile away.
Didn't even click until he walked out.
Yeah, I turned to John. I'm like, oh, Chewbacca origin story. But right. I'm like, that's great. So like, they're both pitted against each other, and they have to find a way out. Like
classic comic book trope.
It is. Yeah. The good guys fight the good guys until they actually talk.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, by the way,
good thing Chewbacca wasn't not fed for 4 days because
well,
it might end a lot quicker.
Right.
But
and this
might have been too weak to fight.
That's
also true.
We don't know what the digestive tract of a Wookiee.
I feel like at 191 years old, it's got to be pretty good.
I like these guards. They were like the two guys in Dark Knight Returns watching the fight between Batman and...
Oh, well, they're just like, you're in for a show tonight, kid.
Yeah, like these two guards that these stormtroopers, whatever kind of troopers they are, you know, there's 20 different kinds of them, but they throw them in this pit and they're like watching the fight and they're like, yeah, get him. And they keep cutting back to them and they're just giving commentary.
I find it funny that stormtroopers have become characters.
Yeah.
You know, like in the original three, they don't talk.
Right.
Like, they're just cannon fodder. Yeah. But then we get Daniel Craig one.
They have a couple stray lines.
Do they?
Well, other than, like, get him to whatever.
Yeah,
yeah,
like,
I mean,
okay,
they,
yeah, okay, that's fair.
But he means, like, they're actually, like, saying things other
there's
than...
There's the Daniel Craig joke in Force Awakens. There's the two that, like, make a U-turn when Kylo's throwing a temper tantrum
that's
and they quickly walk away.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, they've started to give these stormtroopers like some depth, I guess. Now we've got these two who are just like, yeah, go get them.
Yeah, these two. I was thinking Dark Knight Returns. Yeah. A little commentary. They keep cutting back to these guys, and they're like, you know,
right,
like, slice and dice,
slice and dice. So Solo ends up speaking, which I thought was great.
This is one of the funniest,
Kashikian. I don't know.
We'll call it Wookiee for lack of a better word.
They don't listen.
No.
They're not going to be offended.
Right.
But
you will respect our culture.
Oh, sorry.
This was hilarious. Like, I did not see this coming because we know that Han can understand Chewie.
Right.
But
we know
never,
that Chewie can understand Han.
Yeah. But we know Chewie understands English and we know Han understands him, but we've never seen or heard Solo speak Wookiee.
Right.
And I thought it was hilarious him trying to make these groans and then subtitles for it. Like,
that's the first time I've ever seen subtitles for Chewie.
Yeah, that was a great, I thought that was a great comedic beat.
Yes.
Really.
Well, I thought at first, because he does it while he's strangling him, and I thought it was going to be he accidentally said something in Wookiee.
Oh,
that would have been great.
That's funny.
Very funny.
But he's like, yeah, I speak a little bit. And then I think he does make the generic, he says something wrong, you know, like,
yeah, I have plan for us or, you know, it's
yeah,
like,
whatever
yeah, right.
He does, you know, but he does enough to where he's like, oh, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
So he says it's Wookiee for Donde está la biblioteca? Yeah,
right. That was the joke I was going to make, and then didn't. That was exactly what I was going to say, Laika, and then I just stopped.
So yeah, they devise a plan to come together, and you know they're going to fake fight, and Chewie's going to punch this
support beam.
It's going to knock the trap door down, but it won't fall.
The guys are like, "Yeah, get him, get
Han,
him."
Han kind of throws some insults at him, and he spears the support beam, and it falls down, and they jump
up. T.M. Goldberg.
Yeah, right. But I do like that it looks like Chewie just throws Han out of the thing, and then he jumps up after him. And then they're both like, I like this scene too, where they're like, all right, we're going to go this way. And then they both go the opposite way.
Yeah. So we come to find out he's not chained to like the pole. He was chained to the other end of the creature.
Right.
So clearly it's like, you can't get away from him because he's on this other end.
It's the Defiant Ones.
Yeah. Kinda.
With Sidney Poitier and Tony Curtis.
Where they're stuck together.
Where they're chained together. Except it was, you know, one's black, one's white. Right. Spoiler alert. So Sidney Poitier is black. And but it was like the 60s.
Well, Chewie's brown.
Fair enough. But it was the 60s. And so it was like, you know, Tony Curtis was this racist and they're on a chain gang. They're chained together. And then they have to escape and work together.
Right.
So.
And the rest of the movie is just an Odd Couple script.
That's all it is. Yeah. It's a recycled one from the TV show. It was a very interesting choice.
But it's funny. You know, I'm going to go left and you're going to go right. And he just keeps butting heads with him like, and no, just dragging follow
him,
me.
He's just dragging him with him wherever he goes.
Yeah.
To where finally he was like, look, I've got friends on that ship. If we can get to that ship, we can get out of here. So they finally, they make their way to the ship. And of course, Woody Harrelson's like, well, I'll be damned. And they decide, and Tandy Newton's like, what do you don't know? Like, let's not do that. And they decide to join up. They let him join up with the crew, and they have devised this plan that where a character we've yet to see kind of sets them on this path where they need to steal this refined fuel basically off of this train. And this is a hell of a scene.
Like, so this are you is talking nuts. About the Paul Bettany character?
So
come to find out, Beckett is like, okay, we're on this mission for this guy, so we've got to go steal all this stuff. And so we know there's this villain of the movie that we haven't seen yet. He's no one I've ever heard of before. I mean, I don't know if he's in any canon or whatever, but as far as I know, he's kind of a boss, gangster, mob
boss.
He's
like a lower level, like the second guy.
There's someone above him, which we've already spoiled for you, is Darth Maul.
Darth Maul. It was awesome.
Half a Darth Maul, at least.
Right,
Darth Robot.
Darth Robot. Well, that's the Sith thing, though. Like, most of them are cybernetic and robots anyway, you know?
You got a point.
Yeah. So, they want to get this one car off of the back of this train. So, Chewie and Han and Beckett are all like on top of this train trying to uncouple it while they're attaching, like, you know, the cords and everything to keep it from falling off the track, because they're going to blow up half the track. And then
they know which car the goods are in. Right. So it's like they just need that, and they can't carry a whole train away.
Correct.
So they're trying to just take that.
They just take this one car, and they're going to blow up this track so they can't be tracked, can't be followed.
You're on track.
I am on track. So, and then they're attacked by who they keep calling marauders. So we just assume they're pirates.
They say they're pirates.
Yeah. And they're these other bad guys.
Which
were,
I thought that main marauder, she looked awesome.
Oh yeah. It was a cool outfit.
Spoiler alert. She's like a 15-year-old girl.
So
she takes off her helmet and I'm like, Maya Rudolph?
Maya Rudolph's daughter?
Right. Or what's her face from Arrested Development? Maybe.
I thought she was going to be Tandy Newton's daughter.
Yeah.
Like they hold on
her. I
thought
it was going to be Woody Harrelson and Tandy Newton's daughter.
That's where I thought, because they held on it for so long.
Very long.
And she's clearly mixed. She has red hair and freckles, but dark skin, so
right.
I clearly mixed, and I really thought it was going to be dun dun dun. So, like, why hold on it if there's no reveal?
Because I think we're going to see that character in the next two.
No,
movies.
It's fine, but why? Like, they held it like it was a dun 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 moment.
Right.
Like, they should have went dun dun. Sorry, that's all I can say. But they held it like it was a.
They did hold it for
oh,
a long
crap,
time, and then they went back to Woody Harrelson's face,
and you're like,
and he looks shocked.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
I'm supposed to be surprised here, but it's like, no. I think the thing was, it's like, it was another what's in like Ready Player One. It was like, this marauder has a deep voice and this you know, seems like an intimidating deep voice type character. And it's a very young female, and
they do the voice modulator.
Yeah, but the design anyway, the character design of this space pirate was awesome.
Yep.
And the fight scene with Woody Harrelson and like
fight
that
on top of
the,
train. The
electric charged bow staff thing was awesome. I thought this was
it was very good.
One of the coolest new characters.
They've got this train that's like. It's not a traditional, like, track. Like, this train is, like, turning to go like around the side Wakanda. Of the mountain.
It's like the train is on the upper and lower portion of the track.
Right.
And it can spin around.
Man, and the, like...
I don't know why that would be advantageous for
no idea.
Land
well, I guess
travel.
I guess they go through tunnels.
I felt like they were like...
They could go around the mountain. So they could go but 90 I, or 45, yeah, 90.
I get cocking to an angle as you... But like where it completely spins, I don't know what the... purpose of that would be, except, you know what it is?
Looks cool.
It's to make you buy a new drink, right? They wait till everybody goes to the beverage car and they get their drink and then they spin the thing. Everybody spills a drink and it says on your ticket, it says
no spill refunds.
It. No, yeah, like that could happen.
Yeah,
like getting hit by a baseball.
We warned you.
Yeah, it's on your ticket.
This is really all the other cars were passenger cars except for this one.
Yeah, so there's a Tandy Newton is at this coupling station.
Well, if you don't know her, she's been an actor.
Sounds dirty when you say it like,
you
that.
Like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it slower next time.
Yeah. She's been an actor for 20 or 30 years.
Oh,
but
she's great.
Her breakout performance, really, as of late, has been Westworld. She's,
yep, Maeve. She's Maeve.
She's incredible. She's the best part of that show. She's an incredible actor. And it was really cool to see her in something like this. I hope she starts getting these kind of starring.
A little shocking. I did not expect her to die.
Oh, right, in the first half hour? Like, yeah.
Yeah, so they've got this. She's setting these charges on this part of the train.
They slipknotted us, kind
of. They did a little bit.
A little more than him, but
yeah,
they,
but he was also a garbage character.
Well, in a garbage
in
movie.
In a garbage movie, yeah. But we've been warned of these, like, centuries that will come out and attack.
Centuries, too?
Centuries?
Centuries?
I think they're centuries.
Okay.
I don't know.
It made it sound like it was going to take. She was going to stand there for 100 years.
Right. I think you're,
she's
going
to be here for a century.
S E N T R I E, like not century, but centuries.
Centuries. All right.
E Y S. I think. I don't know.
Sure. But they will attack. Like if there's any sort of like loud noise, like, they don't really explain why or how they would attack, but they realize that this thing is being tampered with.
Sure.
So they come out.
Aren't the little circle ones that float like the round ones with the little legs? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. There have been a lot of Star Wars movies. There are things that we've seen.
Oh, those kind of droid bosses. I just mean like they come out, like, I don't know how they're triggered.
Yeah.
But they come out or whatever.
Yeah.
So she's pinned down. We've got our pilot, who is the Jon Favreau character, this little CGI creature, is shot. So Solo was just like, I can do this. Like, I got this.
Whole time he's like, I'm a great pilot. And they're like, okay, we got a pilot.
Yeah, right, yeah. We got a pilot. So he jumps in the airplane. He takes like he ends up pulling it off, and he gets the. This is where we lose Tandy Newton, where she is just like, she's like, I'm just gonna blow it up, and we'll take out these things anyway. Like, I'll take these out, but we have to blow this up.
This is a big surprise. I thought that she would be another one of those that would follow our characters throughout the movie, and it's like, geez, just sacrifices herself. But I guess she realized that they were at a point where they were all going to be killed,
right?
So
she didn't have a choice. So the train goes off the tracks, and Solo and Chewie have they've got this the car cabled to the airplane. But at the same time, it has now also been cabled by these marauders. So you've got Woody Harrelson, who's still on the car itself, and the marauders who are trying to pull it away. And finally, Solo's just like, we're flying into this mountain. Like, we are on a collision course with this mountain.
I mean, they're playing chicken with a mountain. It's
basically.
Like, either the marauders have to let go, or they have to let go, or they're just going to crash.
None of us are going to let go.
And this is a huge payday, you know, and we're going to find out that it's not just a score for Harrelson's crew and for our characters, but they're working for someone else.
Correct.
So he knows how important it is, and he's like, I will kill you if you let go of this.
And Solo lets it go.
Yeah.
And actually, the marauders
do, too. Yeah.
What I would say, Beckett was right. The marauders would have. Well, I guess they wouldn't have. I was thinking that it was the people like that for the train company.
Oh, right.
And that was
right.
Like, well, they're just mercenaries. But no, the rebels would not have.
We will
become the rebels? Would not have.
They are the. They are the beginnings of the outlying Rebel Alliance.
Yeah.
This isn't Leia's Rebel Alliance. These are like the people who. Leia's like, we've got allies around, and that's who these people are. Like, they're the outliers.
But they let go when it's too late. So we know that the Marauders would not have. Solo was right. here, because the Marauders let go when it's too late and they lose it too. So like, they wouldn't have let go until it was too late for all of them. They all So Beckett, of course, is not happy. And
Only did he lose two of his crew members, but he also lost the score.
Yeah, and so it's Val, I think, is the Val is Thandie Newton's character, and it's like she kind of, from his point of view, it's like, well, she died for nothing. We didn't even get the payload, and now she's dead, and we've lost Favs, and you know, and so
now I'm just stuck with these two jokers,
right?
And I mean, this is where Solo's just like, look, I'm stick with you. Like, I'm here with you. Like,
And this is where he explains that. So this is actually the character that's played by Paul Bettany is Dryden Voss. And so he explains this was not for us. This was a job from Dryden Voss.
Right.
And
he's
now
gonna kill us.
We're going to die because this was hundreds of millions of credits worth of stuff. And now we have to come up with it. And he's like, you guys go. He doesn't know you. He knows me. And I'll make this square. And they're like, we get paid if you make this square?
And he's just like, yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, let's worth the risk.
Let's do it. So they go to his yacht, which is just like a giant floating spaceship.
Oh, spaceship.
Yeah, basically.
Fancy spaceship.
It's a fancy spaceship. And this is where we see Paul Bettany, who has, I mean, I thought the scars were really cool. Like,
yeah,
when
he gets angry,
he's got like these lighter.
I was wondering if that was true.
Yeah, when he gets
angrier.
So he's got like these light scars on his face, and the angrier
like
he
gets, blood goes to them, and
they get redder.
I wasn't sure if I was just making that up, but I thought so. I'm like, oh, that's cool. They're like marks that actually change.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That's cool. Cool looking design. The story behind this is it was a completely different actor.
Oh,
and
really?
And they couldn't do the reshoots. So
Do they know who it was?
I'll find out for you. But okay. But they shot this with a different actor, and when he couldn't do the reshoots, they got Bettany, maybe because of the Disney connection with Avengers. And
yeah, they're just like, hey, are you done with Infinity War? Because we got a set over here that we would really like you to check out.
It's just next door.
Yeah, right.
They all film in the same street, right?
Yeah, all on the same street.
Yeah.
123 Disney Street.
Disney Avenue. It's interesting. So if they filmed this with somebody else, I wonder if there was a lot more jokes in this. Because, I mean, if they had to redo this whole scene, something tells me this was a lot more jokey than this scene was, because it was not. The scene with Paul Bettany's character, with Voss, was not jokey.
Yeah, I mean, we know that this movie had...
But it still had a lightness about it.
I feel like the lightness was mixed with...
Michael K. Williams was the original Voss.
Who was Michael K. Williams?
Let's see, the Wire, Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, he's Chalky.
There you go.
Yeah, he's Chalky on Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, so he was supposed
that's his character's name. I just
right
put that out there.
Yeah. Okay. So he was supposed to be him, and when he couldn't do the reshoots, it's like, man, that's very different casting.
I wonder if there is. Did they get a cut done?
No, they fired them before they were done.
I wonder what the
But they were far into it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if there's ever a way we will ever see
you, this is,
you know, like if they have like deleted scenes or so, I don't know.
Not
that'd be
a
crazy
chance.
Pants.
Not
he was Omar on The Wire. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm looking at it now.
Not a chance.
Yeah. Which would be interesting. I'd be interested to see like what was cut.
Yeah. Disney isn't gonna let that come out.
I don't know.
They're not going to.
That's true. Until that Fox deal comes out, they're like, oh, here, we're going to put out all the Star Wars extra stuff that we have. We'll just sprinkle it out every 10 years, and you could buy a new copy of these movies every
time. Have Lucas come in and coordinate a new cut of this movie. He's our new cut consultant.
Yeah, right. So, yeah.
It's the Lucas cut. He didn't direct this or anything,
He cut it himself.
Just 10 minutes in, he just splices in like 50 minutes of C-SPAN.
Yeah.
This is what you guys wanted, right?
Yeah. CG's the senators to look like aliens. Oh, no, wait.
No, that did happen. Yeah. Wait, were there aliens or was it E.T.?
There were aliens, but E.T.
Was in there?
E.T. characters.
Right.
Creatures buried in the...
Right, in the Senate.
But and who else was there? It was E.T.'s and what else's? And Phantom Menace or...
Mork.
Was it really Mork?
No, I'm not
kidding. It was someone else, too.
The
it was
Predator.
Like, yeah, Predator.
It's all
Indiana,
by Fox.
Indiana Jones was there. Marty was there. Doc was there. Any Spielberg, Animaniacs
Avatar,
were in the background.
The Avatar people were there. They knew ahead of the game.
That they were going to buy Fox when that was invented
and distributed pre. Yeah, they knew. Disney knew.
That's Lucas
They're no dummies.
He's a visionary. He's a business genius, mastermind. To make Phantom Menace, he sold the rights for the toys to Kenner. Do you know how much they paid for the toy rights?
How much did Kenner pay for the toy rights of the Phantom
to finance
Menace?
Phantom Menace? Before the movie even was started filming, how much did Kenner pay?
$500 million.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know.
Not quite that.
I don't remember.
$100 million for characters and ideas that hadn't even been created yet.
And the real joke there is that if they hadn't let their contract with him lapse,
right.
They would have owned it. He was only getting for a long time, like 10% or something.
Not no more.
You watch The Toys That Made Us.
Yeah, that's a great doc series.
Can't wait for the next four.
I do like the He-Man one where he's just like, we were just throwing together. We didn't know what it was going to be.
Are you talking about with like the old, like putting the old stuff together?
No, they were just, like the He-Man stuff. They were just like, we needed a toy.
Wasn't that Star Wars toys that they?
No, because the He-Man guys were they looked like mini Arnold Schwarzenegger.
One of those is they reused the old toys.
I think that's Star Wars.
Okay.
I think Star Wars reused like old models.
Okay.
First,
but it's funny. They had to throw stuff together and like, well, we just melt this down a little and change the face on this. And you look and they're the exact same toys. But,
oh, they may have done that for He-Man.
Yeah. I think He-Man from their old.
They do that a lot. Yes. There's a Robin Hood Prince of Thieves tree that they lived in that was an Ewok tree.
Right.
And like, Little John was the one. It was like Sheriff of Nottingham or Little John is the one they remolded maybe for Star Wars or maybe for He-Man. It's been months.
Well, they wouldn't. So the He-Man figures are like those massive, bulky,
okay,
like ridiculous bodybuilder looking figures.
Okay.
But so like Star Wars and G.I. Joe,
it's probably
kind of had
that.
A similar look.
But they would do that for, like, there's a toy. It's Fonzie's like cool mobile or whatever.
Okay.
And it's like Fonzie never drove a car. Right. They were just Fonzie's was cool. Hot. They had a warehouse full of these old cars. And like when you see the thing, it's very clearly the monkey mobile.
Oh, right.
It's a 66 GTO with
a
stretch
bench.
With
his motorcycle? Like, didn't Fonzie have a motorcycle where it was just the Evel Knievel cycle?
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Right. So back to this movie. So they go to this the yacht. They have this interaction with Paul Bettany, and we're reintroduced to Emilia Clarke, who's there and kind of shocks Solo.
Looking good.
Yeah, she does look good. She always looks good.
I know.
And he's just kind of like, what are you doing here? Like, I can't believe you're here. And she's just like, look.
But she's clearly like, in the first scene, they're like street rats. They're dirty.
Riff
they're
rats.
Not, you know, they're just not looking good. She's in a beautiful dress and she's got makeup.
Yeah.
I mean, she clearly is on this yacht with the muckety muck here.
Right.
And so that's your first clue where he's like, how'd you get out? And it's like, well, she was obviously somehow taken in by
this.
She
has done something. Yes. Paul Bettany keeps, she says, I've done things that would not make you look at me that way. And he's just like, I don't care. And I was like, you're right. You shouldn't care.
That's code for porn.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It's code for fisting.
But it's a very anal fisting.
But alien fisting.
Which would be even weirder.
Right? It's
Are you bleeping that out?
I'm marking it. I don't know if I'll bleep it, but I'm marking it.
So it's alien fisting. So it's tentacling.
Which is a thing.
Tentacling.
Tentacle porn is a thing.
Yeah. Who knows?
I don't.
A lot of orifices in this world.
That's true, yeah.
That is true, as Lando will tell you.
Or even Peter Quill will tell us.
Yeah.
You know? All I think is like, why would I draw a line across my throat?
So he's just like, I would never look at you differently.
Right, right. So it's very, the feelings are still there for both of them. But
and
at
then
the
she's
same
like,
time,
I do furry stuff. And he's like, oh.
Yeah,
well.
I'm like, all right. Do you have like a video of it that I can see?
I dress up like Wookiee, and then a hut comes up.
And Chewie's just like, do you have a video of that I can see? Because so Paul Bettany is just
so
like.
So here's a theory. In theory, just a question that kicks around in my twisted head.
Okay.
So if you're a Wookiee who's a pedophile, hear me out.
Okay.
If you're a Wookiee who's a pedophile.
This one comes up a lot. Go on.
Ewok porn?
Has to be.
I mean, would that do it for you?
I mean,
do you think that's an end run? So like you don't get in trouble?
Do they know that the Ewoks were supposed to be Wookiees in Return of the Jedi?
That was the goal.
That was the goal. They were supposed to be on Kashyyyk.
Yeah.
Oh.
Think about that.
Oh, that's odd.
just throw it out there. Listeners, if you have any feelings about that, feel free to email Tom at Real Spoilers. And
Jared from Subway was a Wookiee. we could still eat Subway guilt-free. You might find a hair in your sandwich.
But
But
you don't feel, well, I don't feel bad for eating Subway.
I eat Subway all the time.
It's not like he was the owner. It's not like Jimmy John's. It's not like the guy that runs Jimmy John's.
He wasn't the owner. He was just the face of it.
Yeah. He was. Well, yes.
I mean, sometimes you get, people doing your
advertising. Okay, so then you won't watch a Kevin Spacey movie, but you'll eat at Subway.
Yeah.
Well,
because I don't have to look at or be associated with Jared when I go to. I have to look at Kevin Spacey. They're different things. Remember, we don't not watch things that are produced by people that are like, that's too far.
But Jared also didn't produce anything. He was just their spokesperson.
He was producing something.
Well, that's true.
He's doing 25 long for it.
He's producing something there too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of saliva is what I'm saying.
God, can we continue with this movie?
Sure. So Paul Bettany's just kind of like, where's my stuff? And you know, of course, Tobias is like, look, we got jumped. They took it, but we're going to get more. He's like, no, we'll just kill you all right now. And of course, this, Han, again, the unearned confidence is just like, well, you want the refined stuff, but what if we go get the unrefined stuff?
Beckett's trying to talk his way out of it,
right?
But Han is able to sweet talk him and fast talk him, and then Voss is getting closer and closer to giving the order, and then all of a sudden he comes up with this unrefined
Han
deal.
Han is
which,
just like, we'll go here, and there's we can go to Kessel. And as soon as he said Kessel, I was like, genius.
Yeah,
like that's like, if you have to see that, of all the origin things that we have to see,
yeah,
the Kessel run is what we have to see in this movie,
which all the fanboys are like, I don't want to know how the Kessel run, like, this, it's
of all of the things though, like people, I don't need to know how Han met Chewie. I don't need to know why his last name's Solo. I want to see that.
I think it's fun in the card game. You're like, you have to see him win the Falcon.
Oh yeah.
Like you
have
to.
Those are the two things.
Those are the thing, right? But yeah, a lot of the, you know, the fans, it's like, it's just like the apologists for DC or the, any fanboys. It's like, if they don't want something, they just.
And they are on point today, buddy. Cause they released that first poster for Shazam. So it's like the first teaser poster for Zach Levi's Shazam.
Like they're on the track that they've been on this past decade.
No,
with DC,
it looks completely different.
Oh, okay.
Like it has a Deadpool-ish vibe to it. So it's just like a big white background. It says Shazam, and it's got Levi.
And he's wearing a strap on.
Yeah, which is just like, what is happening?
They're really doubling down on the whole Deadpool thing.
Yeah, but it's him like having a soda.
Well, it's that was at a marketing convention.
Yeah, so but it's the first poster.
But it was advertising for that drink. Like it was at a
trade
show.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, it was an advertisement mock-up. It wasn't a release for the movie. And he's like, oh, I'm funny because I have a soda. Like it's at a marketing convention.
Well, I took it as he's supposed to be a kid. So it's like the theory is that Billy Batson is like a 10-year-old kid who's given the powers of Superman.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, him like having a soda while he's okay.
That's like here's our advertising convention, like Panera, you can be on this cup.
I gotcha. Yeah. That makes still I like whatever.
Yeah. Suit looks like
it looks better on
Shazam
that poster than it did on those pictures.
We also haven't seen the computer effects and they're all punched up. If you look at these outfits that the superheroes wear now, they don't have capes. Those are all CG.
They sometimes have capes.
Don't have capes
when they're flying and stuff. They do, but it's CG.
Yeah,
but like that scene in Superman where he's walking across the snow, like he's got a real cape in that picture, and that it's a real cape.
But if you look at the Avengers stuff, like Iron Man, War Machine, they're just in like black mocap suits
with like weird things. Yeah.
Yeah. Like these suits, you have to realize when you see a practical suit, like the computer does so much work on it that you really can't take those set photos. You have to take them with a grain of salt because they do so much work, where that one we saw was even more developed than most. They're all like Iron Man and Rhodey are in like gray pajamas with black squares
that was
on them.
When they showed the James Spader walking around in the mocap, so I was like, that's not comfortable.
There's
no way.
It's weird, right?
You know what religion he is.
Yeah, it's true, yeah. That's a Robin Williams joke.
I know.
It's a great joke, though.
It is a great
joke.
It's
so good.
I think it's actually, SNL used it, too.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, there was a version of it. There's a Superman parody where it's like Superman, but if Superman worked for the Nazis.
Yeah.
And he,
that's great.
And he like uses his X-ray vision on Jimmy, I think on Jimmy Olsen, and he's like, and he's like,
take him
away. Yeah. He's not Gentile.
That's so good. So they really don't have a ship, and Kira is just kind of like, I got a guy. We go to a cantina, basically.
Again, I mean, this is telegraphed from a mile away because we know he's in this movie.
We know
it's like, who are they
gonna
go? Yeah,
and I will say, His cadence is spot on. In he this sounds scene, just like Billy Dee Williams.
Clearly in this scene. I mean, the rest of the movie, I mean, I think he's brilliant. It's great casting, and he does sound like him. But clearly in this first scene, they're like, this is the first introduction. We want people to be on board from the get. He sounds exactly.
I agree.
But he never sounds this good again. It's good, but like this, you may as well, if I had my eyes shut, I'd be like, Billy Dee Williams is there.
Well, and at the end of the day, you don't want a movie of them doing
a parody.
An impersonation.
Yeah, no. Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But
not.
This one, it's like, damn. Yeah. As soon as you heard him.
He sounds just like him. Yeah, like, it's creepy how much he sounds like him. Yeah. And we're introduced to Donald Glover, who is Lando. And they Solo kind of sits down and they begin their game of...
Yeah, that.
What's that game? Sabacc. Thank you, Sabacc.
So that's, since obviously we're going to be chatty, that's probably as good a place as any to put a pin in things. And we can circle back around for part two. Because if Star Wars means anything, it's sequels.
Yeah, so, they've figured out the formula.
Yes. So
no, I am your father.
So I guess let's go around the table real quick and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBracket or listen to Show Spoilers where we talk about Westworld starring Thandi Newton, who is in this film.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or at our website, realspoilers.com, or don't forget our Patreon account with all sorts of extra goodies at patreon.com/realspoilers. So that's it for this one. Coming up next time, we will tackle, this again, just the other half. So until then, you've been warned.
Welcome to this jumping joint. They got aliens having happy hour. Hive of scum and villainy where the cultures can all feel empowered. That's more sizely for you, though. It's inclusive, full of joy. All are welcome if you ain't a droid. Listen, man, baby bat, check out all these patrons. Yeti Sloth, Cosmonaut, literally Satan. If you got nuts and bolts, ain't your situation. Targeted casual racism. Tune to what
even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.